The McLean County Arts Center in Bloomington is currently highlighting the work of Richard Finch in a show called simply A Retrospective. It's up now through October 18th. The retired Illinois State University professor is renowned as a printer, although through the years he has employed drawing and painting to express his regard for still life and the human figure. Finch says he was enthusiastic about the idea of a retrospective of his work, but almost immediately he was faced with the daunting task of having to select what works would be included in the show.
I tried to figure out, well, how far back do I want to go? I said, I'm not going to put in anything from graduate school.
Why not?
Well, that's what I asked myself later on. I said, well, why not? I found a drawing that's over in the corner there, and
Let's go take a look.
Okay. Anyway, this drawing from 1975, so I clearly would have been in my last year of graduate school, and I found that in my archives, and I thought, you know, that really is a pertinent piece.
Why is it pertinent?
Well, from the beginning, my first drawing class in college was a figure drawing class. There was something about that subject that engaged me. So that's, although this is quite abstract, it's based on the figure.
It's called No Crystal Chandelier.
I just made that up.
But
at the time, I was working in photography, not fine art photography, but as a means to create images. My goal was printmaking, drawing, painting. So that's what this is, based on the figure. Double exposures, overlapping, quite a bit of abstraction. So anyway, it's pertinent because, one, it's a drawing. I love drawing. That's what got me in all of this. And it was based upon the figure. Not just to represent the figure, but hopefully to evoke other feelings, other thoughts from the viewers.
So here you are, after so many years of working as an artist, and you're looking back on the work that you did at that time. Do you ever look at something and get a twinge and think, ooh, why did I do that? Or do you think, hey, you know what? There's something there.
No, I get that feeling quite a bit sometimes, you know.
The twingy.
What made me do that? How did I come up with that? So I think in the long run, I'm pretty pleased with the work that is up.
We have quite a lot of still lifes here, and the still lifes are a vase or a book, a pot, or some sort of vessel. So what is the appeal of still life in your work?
Well, they're stand-ins for the figure. For me, the objects represent vessels, much like we're vessels. Human beings are vessels. So for me, they're stand-ins for the figure, things that I can ultimately control completely, you know.
So models, not so much?
Not so much. You know, you're on their time often, and they're hot or they're cold or need a drink of water or whatever. So, but with still life objects, I can gather up whatever I want, put them where I want, arrange them how I want, work from it at 3 a.m. or whenever.
And it connects you with so many artists that came before you. I mean, the vase is something that, you know, we go back to the earliest part of man's history and creation and expressing oneself. And the vase is there, both as sculpture, but also in painting and printmaking and so forth.
Absolutely, yeah. I've looked at a lot of different artists who work from the figure, who work from still life, and try to learn what I can from them. If I can learn something from somebody, that means I don't have to do all the legwork on my own. I can look at things, I can read about them, and that stuff I can just pick up.
Who were some of your influences specifically? Did you look to maybe some of the Dutch masters or maybe like with some of your portraiture, maybe like Holbein?
You're right on.
Okay.
Yeah, I looked at a lot at 17th century Dutch still life painters who went to still life because during the Reformation, the artists were no longer getting commissions for churches and whatnot. So the artists had to come up with something. So they looked at still life as a way to, at first, illustrate what a donor or patron's life was like. Here are my things. Here's what I have. Don't you want to be me? You know? But that eventually evolved into other painters, other still life painters who wanted to say, well, I think I want to go beyond that. I want to treat still life as imagery, but also I want them to be symbolic of things.
Like Vermeer?
Oh, yeah, I looked at a lot of Vermeer. And John F. Pito, not many people know that name. He was an American artist, relied a lot on representation.
Let's take a look at this one over here.
Okay.
Over and Under 3, and here we have the still life, we have a book, and we have some vessels, and what looks like a moon rising behind them. What do we have here?
It's a watercolor, and I put it together much like I did many things, where the objects or the planes are parallel to the picture plane, based upon a compositional structure that has roots in mathematics and nature.
You're known for your printmaking, yet here you are working in watercolor. Did that present a really particular challenge for you? Because watercolor can be tricky and kind of stubborn.
I had to learn it on my own. I didn't get interested in watercolor until after I graduated. I was out of school. I was teaching for a while and decided that I just wanted to do it. So nobody taught me. I just got my things and said, here's what I want to make, so let's make it happen. So,
Richard, how did you develop your voice as an artist?
That's a good question, Laura. I think my answer to that would be from looking at art history, art historical precedents, and combining that with my own life experiences, and just being tenacious. I think that's an important characteristic for an artist.
Let's take a look at another one that caught my eye at the other end of the gallery. And here we have the figure of a woman, and her shoulders are bare. She has a wrap around her. What is the medium here, Richard?
Oh, this is Alkyd paint and wax. I was using a mixture of Alkyd paint and Dorland's wax medium. And I liked it because the Alkyd paint, I could manipulate it like oil, but it would dry quicker. So I could do something at night, next day, next afternoon, it would be dry enough, and I could do something else to it and just continue to build it up.
Where's the wax?
Well, it's all embedded in the paint itself.
So it's right in there in the canvas and the paint.
Right, right.
Is that what gives it its interesting sort of texture and glow?
I think so. I hope so.
This model is giving us quite the stare. She looks pretty fierce. What were you going for when you created this portrait?
Well, first of all, just to be clear, that's my wife.
Well, nice to meet you.
And yeah, she can be stern, but not mostly. I was going for something that was quiet, full of light and air.
Dignity, too.
Dignity, right. Wanted the figure staring at us, because there's a certain amount of confrontation with that.
Yes.
With the stare. So she's looking at us as we're looking at her, and just seemed to be fair.
You retired from teaching in 2014. Has your art changed at all since your life has changed in that regard?
Yes, sir, to a certain degree it has changed. I'm actually in the process of revisiting some older compositions and trying to bring in the newer imagery that would kind of fit together and be something new. I'm working on a piece right now. Started out as a lithograph from some years ago. It was a trial proof, black and white. And I thought, well, I'm going to see what I can do with that. So I have no clear picture yet of where it's going, but I'm working on it. I'll figure it out.
What was it like coming here? Everything's up on the wall. You take a look around and you see your past surrounding you. Was that an emotional moment for
it
you?
It was. It was unreal. I would preface that by saying I knew about the retrospective for some time, and I started a year in advance planning it, taking inventory. What do I have? What do I have that I can borrow from somewhere else? And then in March of this year, I started framing. Matting and framing, and for 6 months, any studio time I had was matting and framing. So that's fine. I don't mind doing that work, but
it's not fun.
After the second month, I was kind of over it. And yet, there were still things to be done. So you just do it.
So how do you feel about the people who've been coming here to see all of these works, and their reaction? How do you hope people are reacting to this?
One, I hope they like the work, but more importantly, I hope they become engaged in the work. I want my viewer to come to something I made and look at it and study it and be able to come back later and look again and see something else and see something new. I want my work to be a slow revelation.
That's artist Richard Finch. A retrospective is up through October 18th at the McLean County Arts Center in Bloomington. I'm Laura Kennedy.